Welcome to our Clothed with the Sun daily podcast, our reading and meditation on the gospel of the day. This is Chuck Colazzi. Today is Monday, April the 29th, 2024. It is the fifth Monday of Easter, and it's also the feast of St. Catherine of Siena, one of my very favorites. Today's reading is from the gospel according to St. John. And excuse me if you hear a little noise in the background, it's my printer rebooting. I'm so sorry. We don't have the largest studio in the whole world here. We're kind of limited. Anyway, here is the gospel reading. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. Whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him." Judas, not the Iscariot, said to him, "Master, then what happened that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, yet the word you hear is not mine, but that of the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you." So this reading is right after the reading of the vine and the branches. Wait, no, I'm wrong. That's the beginning of 15, but it's part of Jesus talking about unity, the Father desiring unity. Once again, we got John's gospel. It goes very deep. This is John 14. It's right before Jesus tells us about the vine and the branches. But all these things are connected. Jesus and the Father are one, and their oneness is primarily about love more than anything else. And when we hear that word, it's so much bigger than what we think of. It's so much bigger. I mean, we could study this word love. I love to make jokes when we start to talk about the word love. I think of Velvet Jones, you know, Eddie Murphy on Saturday Night Live and talking about his love novels. I think of Van Halen and how they wrote so many songs about love, and they had no idea really what they were talking about if we're going to talk about real love. It was about love as a feeling, and love feels good, and love comes walking in, and why can't this be love, and how do I know if it's love? And they say, well, if it feels good, it's love. Well, love is connected to feelings. It's not false to say that, but it's also about choices, and there's all different kinds of choices, and ultimately love comes from God. When we talk about that love that exists in the Trinity, it's a perfection. It's completely willing the good of the other 100%. It's agape love, a love that lays down one's life, because there's different words in Greek for love. So, and C.S. Lewis, I'm looking at his book over here that I have. It's, what's it called? It's called The Four Loves. Anyway, I didn't want to get into a whole sermon about C.S. Lewis tonight, although that would be a great topic. But love, when we're talking about the Trinity, is just 100% willing and doing what's good for the other. And the Father and the Son do this endlessly, eternally with each other. And that love is the Holy Spirit. Jesus is starting to tell us, and we're going to start to hear this in these readings because we're getting close to Pentecost, that he's going to send us the Spirit. He loves us so much that he's going to send us the Spirit. The Spirit will divinize us. The Spirit is what we receive in our baptism. Rather, it's who we receive in our baptism, and we become divinized by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives within us, just like the blood in our veins. And once again, there's so many images that we're being given here, the living water, the vine and the branches, the life that goes through that vine. It refers to the Eucharist. It also refers to the Holy Spirit. So the Father loves the Son loves the Father, and they have perfect unity. And he's asking us to love him and his Father. And he says, "We love you." And that love will come through the Son to his people, his creatures, his people. We are more than just his creatures. And this is when he's about to call us friends. And that raises us to a higher dignity than simply servants. So this is all about the love of God being given to us, the love of God being received by us. And then the more we have that love that we're receiving, the more we're able to give it back to God, the more we're able to give it to each other. And that love is the Holy Spirit. And there's a lot revealed through the Holy Spirit. Jesus says we will come to know the truth. And Jesus' intention, his will, is that every single person on earth is baptized, is evangelized, and comes to have the Holy Spirit living within them. Jesus can do this. He can give all of us his Spirit. We forfeit it through sin, but he has given us forgiveness and means for forgiveness, which primarily comes through his cross. It can't be done without the cross. So there's so much more we can say about this, and I don't even know if in heaven I'm going to fully understand all these things. I mean, because God is eternal. We're not eternal. We all have a beginning. We are immortal. I mean, we're going to live forever and ever, either in heaven or in hell. We are made in God's image. We know that. So is God able to fully convey to us the fullness of his essence, which, by the way, is love? Well, in heaven, we'll find out. We don't know 100%. You know, how can I receive it all? I'm a temporal being. I'm a being created in time and space. So how can I fully receive everything the Lord is, everything the Lord conveys? Well, we're going to take what we can get because God offers it and God is amazing. And we're going to, the goal is to say yes to him now so that we can be thanking him for all of eternity. So we receive his Holy Spirit. The Spirit lives within us. He says, if you love me, you'll do what I say. And that's not some abusive person, human being talking. That's God Almighty saying, I want to give you my Spirit. I want to give you my very essence. I want to share everything with you, but you have to say yes to it. So, and I preached about this yesterday, you know, it's not about our willpower and it's not about doing everything perfectly. It's about saying yes to the Lord, giving him our hearts, and then saying, come Lord, please work in me, live in me, transform me. I want to be someone who does things more and more and more perfectly. I want to be one who loves more and more and more fully, but I can't do that without you, Lord. Give it all to me. Our feast for today is St. Catherine of Siena, and there's a lot of books written about her. In fact, there's the book written by her, The Dialogues of St. Catherine, and it has to do with Jesus appearing to her. So a lot of the things that she received from the Lord. She's the first female doctor of the church. And when you read her writings, when you read her life story, I'll tell you, it's very intense. It can be hard to read, hard to listen to. She was a mystic, probably, very possibly the greatest mystic in the history of the church after maybe Our Lady. I mean, we don't know to what degree the early disciples were total mystics, you know, like somebody like Mary Magdalene. I would imagine Mary Magdalene was closer to Jesus than St. Catherine. But then again, we're not supposed to compare. We're supposed to look at these saints and say, hey, you know, I want to be like them. And they all have their different gifts. And there's so much to learn from them. So what do we learn from St. Catherine? I look at St. Catherine when Jesus is talking about all this love, the love being received so that we can be more like him, so that we can give that love, being filled with the Holy Spirit, being filled with that same love that exists between the Father and the Son. St. Catherine was a sponge for that love. She was a total mystic. Her family, when she was young, remember, they didn't have much schooling then, and especially not for the women. So they wanted to just marry her off very young. And she felt a calling. Her calling was to give her life completely to God, but not as a nun. So she lived at home with her family. Her parents had many children. So she would spend long hours in prayer. They wanted to marry her off. She rebelled against it. She ended up getting in the way. I think she cut her hair off or something, and then they thought she was crazy. So she ended up not having to get married. She didn't want to get married. She felt the Lord wanted her to be his spouse. And then she would spend out long hours in prayer and have these mystical visions. And there's so much to the visions. I mean, like I said, there's that whole book, The Dialogues of St. Catherine, where Jesus is appearing. Jesus is giving her a wedding ring. He shares his crown of thorns with her. He so many different things, and it's even weird to talk about. There's so many just mystical phenomena that I think, rather than just throwing words out there, it'd be better to just do a little research into it if you want to learn more about her. But they had this intense, incredible relationship while she was living at home and helping her parents with so many different things, raising the other children and cleaning the house. And she would go to church every day. And when she would receive communion, she would go into an ecstasy. And the women at church hated her. They gossiped about her. And when she would go into one of her ecstasies, they would stick her with pins to see if she was really praying or if she was faking. And she wouldn't come out of the ecstasy. But then a couple hours later, when she was done praying, she would cry because then she felt the pain. They were, why are you sticking me with pins? But people hated her. But after living a good amount of life, maybe it was 10 years, I forget the exact number, that she lived as this mystic, then the Lord told her to go out and fulfill a mission for him. And she was a woman of great sacrifice, hard work, and great wisdom, and great courage. Even though she didn't have much education, she is patron saint of nurses because she went and she ministered to the sick. And many of these people, when she prayed over them, they healed. People died and she prayed over them and they came back to life. But then she became a counselor to priests, lay people. She became a spiritual director to priests. And she even went so far as to go to the Pope to give the Pope advice. The Pope didn't take her advice, however. But they knew her to be a very, very wise woman, a true mystic. And she did so much good for so many people. There's a story of her helping a man that was in prison. He was on death row. He was about to receive the death penalty. He was like a raving lunatic saying he was innocent. And they were going to give him the guillotine. And so she went to him. And while nobody else could even be in the cell with him, she was fine. She had incredible courage. She talked him down from his rage and she talked him into going to confession. He said, I'll go to confession on one condition, you stay with me. And then she stayed with him right up to the very end. And in the end, there's this scene where she's holding his head. She stayed with him right then and there. She had tremendous courage. She prepared that man for his death. Whether he was guilty or not, he was prepared to meet the Lord. And his rage and his anger was gone. And because of her courage in doing that, she gained other opportunities, and there were wars going on between local areas, you know, states or cities, what have you, territories. There were local governors, and she went and she talked to them, and she talked them out of their fighting. And these were people that wouldn't talk to anybody, especially not a woman in that day and age. And yet they respected her for the good work that she was doing and the mystic that she was. And like I say, she then ended up talking to various leaders of the church, including the Pope himself. What happened with her is just what Jesus is saying in this reading today. Fulfill God's commandments. Be filled with his love. Choose the Lord. The Lord needs to give us the graces that we need for whatever we're doing in life. Those graces need to come from him, and he freely gives them. And, you know, we choose, but we can't do it all on our own. He gives the grace. We can make more choices. We grow in holiness. Our external merits increase as our prayer life increases, as our connection with the Lord, with the Blessed Mother increases, with the Holy Trinity, with the Eucharist, with the sacraments, with the Bible. As our receiving increases, then we are capable of giving more. And she was capable of giving a tremendous amount because she was so filled with the love of God. So as we go through our lives and we consider, what is God calling me to do? What is my mission? Not just for life, but for tomorrow, for today. What is God's mission? God's mission, first and foremost, for me and for you, is to be filled with his love. And how do we do that? Through prayer, through spiritual reading, through following Jesus as best we can, through learning about him, through praying with other people, whatever we can do to be filled with the love of Jesus, making a good confession on a regular basis. How do I stop people from fighting in the Middle East? How do I stop a war happening between Russia and Ukraine? Our faith tells us, I mean, just like in the life of St. Catherine of Siena, she didn't just go one day and say, I'm going to talk to the Pope. No, she became holy. I believe it's Marth Robin who is has been proposed for canonization. And she was a mystic that lived in France a little while back, I believe within the past century. And she said, your life will be worth what your prayer is worth. And that's certainly the case with this reading and with St. Catherine of Siena. My goal, whatever it is, whoever it is that I'm called to help, wherever the Lord wants to send me, however he wants to use me, the goal first and foremost is to be filled with his grace, his love, his peace. As Jesus fills us, then he can use us. Have a great day. God bless you.